So tonight we are talking about focus, action, and discipline. How many people ever started out to achieve a new goal, and as you were moving towards it, you realized it was much harder than you thought it would be, and you ended up giving up on it? Anybody ever have that experience? Or how many people were working out or on a particular exercise or diet or taking a class, and you ended up missing a class or two, and you got sidetracked, and you had a hard time getting back on track? You know, sometimes even with the best laid plans, sometimes life gets in the way. Sometimes we get in the way. And even with our best intentions and strongest desires, sometimes we start out with a lot of passion and energy, and our energy fizzles and wanes, you know, as we have to deal with the reality of putting the work in to do the things that we want to achieve. The truth is that it's good to have goals and intentions and stuff. That's important. But the people who fulfill those dreams and achieve them are the ones who are truly committed by staying focused, by taking action and being and maintaining a level of discipline to see it through till it is achieved. One thing to have goals, whole other thing to achieve them and fulfill them. You know, airplanes tend to land where they're going 99% of the time. But they say that when an airplane takes off and on its travel, it tends to be off course 90% of the time. And why is it that they land safely? Why is it do they get to where they're going? And even though if they're not off the course, off course 90%, it's because they keep getting back on course. They keep correcting. When they drift, they keep correcting. They keep correcting. They keep correcting. They do not take off in a very straight line and hit exactly where they're going all the time. There are always adjustments to be made and always coming back, always coming back. Planes drift, we drift, everybody gets a little sidetracked. But it's how often are you coming back? Are you coming back? Are you getting back on track? So the question is, what does it take to get back on course? You know, what does it take to, when we have drifted a bit, to keep moving forward to pursue our goals? And the first thing, I believe, is focus. I want you to think about a goal that you want in your life, and the question is, how focused are you on this goal? How focused are you on this thing that you want to achieve, this thing you want to manifest, this thing that you want to become? I believe focus is a very powerful thing. Let me give you an example. Suppose I had two cameras here, and on this side I had a very, very expensive camera, automatic lens, zoom, this, that, the other. I mean, everything you could imagine on a camera, the most expensive camera. On this side, I had one of those disposable cameras, little idiot-proof cameras. Which one do you think would take a better picture, generally speaking? The more expensive one. But I would suggest if one thing was off, the smaller one would take better pictures, and that is if the bigger one wasn't in focus. And if the little one was in focus. Let's expand that example. Sometimes we think it's the people with the most money, the people with the most connections, the most education, the tallest, the whateverest. We can think of all the advantages, all the bells and whistles are the ones who are going to succeed. I would suggest to you someone from humble beginnings that is clear and focused about what they want to achieve will achieve far more than someone who has all of the advantages who isn't focused, who isn't clear. Or not sure about what they want to achieve. Again, how focused are you on your goal? How clear? How determined? And how good are you at getting back on track? Les Brown said most people focus on their distractions rather than their destiny. We focus on those little irritating things that bother us and get in the way rather than the very thing that we want to achieve. You know, our minds do get distracted, you know, even though, and we hear how powerful the mind is, what the mind can conceive and believe it will achieve. You know, I love that line in Scripture. It says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I always thought about this. Think about this. Why would Paul say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind? It for two reasons. One, that our minds can transform our lives. that when we transform our minds, we absolutely can transform our lives. But here's the other one. Why do we need to renew our minds? Because our minds have a tendency to get distracted. Our minds have a tendency of wandering. Our minds have a tendency of drifting. Our minds have a tendency of focusing on what isn't right rather than what we want. And so often we allow ourselves to get distracted when we have a particular goal. You know, we will let the hard work get us distracted, the problems, the time it takes, you know, the negative people who may throw cold water on the things that we want to achieve. Sometimes our own laziness, procrastination, our own fears, a lack of worthiness. We have many, many things that we allow to distract us from the very things that we are seeking. So I want you to think of something that you're seeking and desiring in your life. And I would ask you, what are you allowing to distract you from staying focused on that goal? What are you allowing to have you wander or drift or not stay focused on the very thing that you're seeking? Everybody remember when the disciples were in the boat and there was a storm and Jesus was walking on the water? And then Jesus, he called Peter out of the boat. And first, Peter got out of the boat, and he was standing on the water. It was storming, and he was standing on it. And so, but then he started slipping into the water. He plunged into it. And the fact is, when he got out of the boat and stepped on the water, when he focused on the Christ, he stayed above the water. But when he started focus on the crisis, on the wind and the storm, that's when he began to sink. And similarly with us, in whatever situation we're in, when we are focused on our goal, when we're focused on God, we will stay above the storms and move towards what we want. But when we focus on the problems, when we focus on what isn't working, on the pain or how hard it is, we will sink into negativity. We will sink and not be able to rise above and achieve the thing that we want. Does that make sense, everyone? The book of James says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Those who doubt should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. They are double-minded and unstable in all they do. That's a little harsh, I think. But the point of it is that when we are double-minded, when our mind flips like a wave back and forth and isn't focused, you're putting mixed energy out into the universe. And you shouldn't think that you're going to get the very best thing when your mind is always waving and wandering. There's a beautiful line in Isaiah that says, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And so the whole importance about faith, about focusing on the good that you're seeking, is a very important thing, because you attract what you think about. So that it's important to focus on the thing you want to attract, not the thing you don't want to attract. You know, focus is the ability to bring your mind and your attention to the thing that you desire to have it on. It is your ability to make your mind think of what you'd like it to think about. Anybody ever felt like you couldn't control your mind? It was running all over the place. You had no idea. It was bouncing all over, you know. And so the truth is, we do have that ability, but it takes time to train the mind. Meditation is one of the greatest ways, because it helps you not get as distracted. Or if you do get distracted, you don't get as stressed about it, and you can actually gently bring it back. Without forcing it, you can actually gently bring it back. Focus is not just about knowing what you want, but it's about being able to keep your mind from being distracted from the very thing that you want. So here are the three areas that we're going to focus or refocus on. The first one is to focus on your intention. When we started the class, we looked at what is the consciousness that we want to achieve? What does a prosperity consciousness look like? What does an abundance consciousness look like? And that is our intention. We want to transform our consciousness to have a consciousness of abundance. And what is a consciousness of abundance? It is a mindset and a consciousness that is always seeking a greater awareness, a greater oneness, and a greater alignment of God's Spirit, of that very source of our spiritual nature. You know, of that nature of love, that nature of abundance, that nature of peace that is in us. God is the source. And so a prosperity consciousness is always immersed in the mind of God. You know, Paul said, let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. And so it is that same consciousness, that same mindset. And the only way you can do that is to keep immersing your mind in the mind of God, is how you train your mind to be aligned and at one with God. Because that's what a prosperity consciousness is, a God consciousness. When we're centered in the awareness of God and our oneness with God, all things are possible. That we are most open to allow light and love and peace and joy, inspiration, solutions, ideas, prosperity to flow through us. So, in terms of a prosperity consciousness, for you, what does that mean? What does that look like? What does a prosperity mindset look like for you? Some of the things in a prosperity consciousness include, you know, a clear belief and an awareness that there is always more than enough. Regardless of what situation you're in, is an awareness and belief that there is always more than enough. Jesus, no matter what situation, loaves and fishes didn't matter, he believed that there was always more than enough. It is the ability to see possibilities, to have a vision of something greater than where we are. It is a willingness to try and to risk, to ask, to reach beyond our grasp, to focus on the positive in all situations, to be thankful, to feel worthy and loved and capable, to be a good receiver as well as a cheerful giver, to be optimistic and playful and feeling connected to God, to know that things will always work out and that all things are truly working for our highest good. It is to be thankful and joyful and celebrate and appreciate everything that is currently in our lives. So my question for you is, if you were to describe your ultimate prosperity consciousness, your God consciousness, write down a couple phrases of what that would be and mean to you. And would it be to be a thankful and generous person, to be loving and joyful in all situations, to be very generous and giving with your time, to be able to trust and know that everything in your life will always work out? So what are the things that are really the key of what you think a prosperity consciousness would be, the prosperity consciousness you want to achieve? Okay. Keep writing if you need to keep writing. So the first thing we're talking about focusing on and we need to be focused on is our intention for the prosperity consciousness or God consciousness we want to achieve. The second one is to be focused on our vision. You know, Scripture says where there is no vision, people perish. And I believe the opposite is true, and that is where there is a vision, people prosper. Because I believe a vision gives us a channel for the flow of our creative energy. That when we have a vision, it actually helps channel and focus the creative energies and our power, our words and our actions to move towards something intentional. When we have a vision, we direct energy. When we don't, we dissipate energy. I'm sure every one of us has days where we did a lot, that we were very busy but achieved nothing or not much. And we've had other days where we did a few things, but we were laser focused and got a lot done. We all know what that difference is. And having a vision helps guide that energy and utilize it in its most effective and efficient way. Because we all have creative energy. The question is, are we directing it? Are we dissipating it? And so, we're going to visit our think for 15 seconds, write for 30 seconds activity that we did, I think, in week 3. So what we're going to do, so I think it's written in your book, right? Health, finances, relationships, career, self-expression, and spiritual growth. So what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you to think in that area for 15 seconds of what is your highest vision. And then when I say write, you'll write for 30 seconds. Don't start thinking before I say think, please. All right. Everybody, let's take a deep breath. Feel how good it feels to laugh, open your heart and your mind to the infinite possibilities of good that God has for you, because we truly live in God's abundance, and God's abundance lives in us. So steeped in that idea of unlimited possibilities in the area of your health, what is your highest vision, desire, and intention for your health? Think. And for 30 seconds, write. And stop or finish up. And everybody, let's take another deep cleansing breath, refreshing and reminding ourselves that with God, all things are possible. God isn't withholding anything from you, but will give you as much as you are willing to receive. In the awareness of that unlimited abundance, next, in the area of your finances, what is your highest vision, goal, and desire for 15 seconds? Think. And write. And stop or finish up. The deep breath, please. Expanding your heart and your mind to know that whatever you ask, you will receive. So in that consciousness of unlimited goodness, next, in the area of relationships, what is your highest vision and desire for any of your relationships? Your romantic relationship, relationship with your parents, your kids. For 15 seconds, think. And for 30 seconds, write. Another deep breath. Expanding your heart to the unlimited possibilities of goodness that are available to you in that mindset now. In the area of your career or self-expression, what is your highest desire? What is your highest intention? For 15 seconds, think. And stop or finish up. And one last deep breath. Cleansing your mind, reminding yourself that we truly live in God's abundance, and that abundance is within us and all around us. Immersed in that awareness and that abundance, in the air of your spiritual growth or your spiritual connection, what is your highest vision for yourself? What is your highest desire? And think. And write. And stop or just finish up. So we did this a number of weeks ago. How many people found it was a little bit easier this time? And how many people found it was still very helpful doing it again, even though it was several weeks? And so one of the things is periodically, I think it's important for us to do this. I don't think you have to, you can look at your goals every day if you want, if that works. But I also think it's good to just kind of ask ourselves a question to revise. Maybe in 4 or 5 or 6 weeks it would have been tweaked a little bit, a little bit clearer, maybe changed. And so this periodic visiting and refocusing on our goals and our intentions, I think, are really important. I think sometimes we can get over a little fixated on it, that if we have a particular goal, we just assume it'll be our goal for the rest of our lives. And years later, we're hanging on to some goal that may not even be practical for us anymore. So it's good, I think, to revisit and refocus and reclarify, because it'll help us keep more alive and active, and we'll know when it's time to let go of something or to change it and move in a slightly new direction. But that focus on what we want, again, it helps direct our creative energy rather than dissipate it. And notice, less than 5 minutes. Less than 5 minutes. It doesn't take as much time as we realize. The next one, focusing on our feelings. So my question is, what would you say are the 4 or 5 words that would best describe your feelings of prosperity? Would there be feeling fulfilled, feeling joyful, feeling excited and enthusiastic? Would it be feeling loving and kind and generous and caring? Would it be feeling confident? Would it be feeling creative? Would it be feeling empowered? Would it be feeling worthy? I could go on and on. But the question is, what does prosperity feel like for you? And I think sometimes it's good to get clear on writing some of those feelings down. Like if you were to say that you could have five feelings, you know, on a regular basis of feeling prosperous, what would they be for you? What would be the most important? Would it be loving? Would it be joyful? Would it be enthusiastic? Would it be compassionate, understanding? Because, again, the feeling part is a powerful magnetizing, magnetic energy. And, you know, you don't just get what you want. You get what you think and what you feel. And so the more we cultivate those feelings, we will attract things that support those feelings. So write down five or 10 words to describe what prosperity feels like for you, your key top feelings. Okay, continue writing if you'd like. The Dalai Lama said a line that's one of my favorite quotes, and he said, "It doesn't matter how many times you forget, it's how many times you remember." And so the fact is, we're all going to forget, we're all going to drift, we're all going to, mind is going to wander, and we're going to get distracted. It's how many times you keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. Not beating ourselves up because we got off track, but just bringing it back. It doesn't matter how many times you forget. It's how many times you remember. And so every one of us are going to miss something or not do it or achieve it the way we thought we would, but we just keep coming back. We just keep coming back. We keep coming back. No guilt, no blame, no shame. Just keep coming back. Keep coming back. Mind will wander in meditation. Keep coming back. You'll miss a day every now and then. Keep coming back. Whatever it is you want to achieve, just keep coming back to it. Keep getting back on course. The next one, let's look at action. Will Rogers, I think on the video, on the CDs I say Roy Rogers, but it's actually Will Rogers, said, "Even if you're on the right track, if you just sit there, you'll get run over." And this whole point is if you want to achieve something, you can't just sit there, even if you're on the right track. You actually have to move. Einstein said, nothing happens till something moves. Nothing changes or gets better till something moves. That there needs to be action. That's why Scripture says, faith without works is dead. There has to be work. There has to be effort. There has to be action. There has to be movement. You know, the story of the hemorrhaging woman is one that really inspires me in so many ways. She was bleeding and not at her full strength for 12 years. Yet on that day, she got up and made the trek and the journey to where Jesus was. And it says there were people pressed up against him, and she pressed through them all and touched the hem of his garment and was healed. And to me, the amazing thing about that story is a few things. One, imagine 12 years not feeling good. Imagine something not working in your life for 12 years. To have the faith to get up and believe it still could improve and get better was very impressive. Secondly, to make the trek from wherever she was to get to him and then press through the crowd till she touched the hem of his garment, to me, shows a level of determination, a level of strength, but also realizing she needed to do something to help make it happen. And so even, you know, with Peter, even though he was on the water for a while and then his faith wandered and he sunk, Jesus still said, "You are the rock upon which I'll build my church." You know why? He was willing to try. He stepped out of the boat. The others didn't. The others wouldn't. He stepped out of the boat. Is that even when we don't succeed, even when we don't do as well, the fact that we try something will always make us more and bring us more, teach us more, and expand us more than not doing it. Even an action taken in the wrong direction will teach us something. So action is an important, important thing. There was once A guy that saw a great pianist playing after the concert went up to him and said, I would give anything to play like you. And he said, no, you wouldn't. He said, no, I would. I would do anything to play. He said, no, you wouldn't. He said, why do you say that? He said, because if that were true, you would have done something already. Sometimes we say we want something and we think it's a nice thought, but we don't back it up with action. When I was in my early 20s, I wanted to be wealthy in rental properties. I lived in a town that was a university town, and they had lots of rentals, and I thought, let me get into that. I'm going to try and do that. And so I started buying and reading lots of books on rentals called Buy, Rent, Sell, or Making Money in Real Estate Rentals, blah, blah, blah. And I had friends who did it, so I would interview them. You know, I'd interview one, I'd interview the second, the third, the fourth. Then I'd start back at the first, interview him a second time, interview all of them. I was on my third round with a friend, Bob Frame. And I said, Bob, I was asking him a question. He said, stop asking me questions and stop reading books and just go buy one, and you will learn more in 6 months of buying one than 3 years of studying about buying one. I was slightly offended, but you know when someone is right. My soul knew he was absolutely right. So I ended up doing that and made some really dumb mistakes. But in the 9 or 10 years that I owned it, it went really, really well. But it wouldn't have gone well if I kept reading book after book after book. The prices of the houses would have kept going up every year. I could have been making money. And that's the thing about life, is you got to get out there and do it. You know, my brother introduced me to Toastmasters, and one of the things you realize about Toastmasters, you can read all you want about public speaking. It ain't nothing until you get up there and start doing it. You can read books about eating ice cream, but you won't enjoy it till you actually go get one. And so that's the truth about everything in life, is that if you want to achieve it, you've got to get up and do something about it. You know, somebody was once in Greece and they were wandering. They went up to Socrates and they said, how do you get to Mount Olympus? And Socrates said, the best way to get to Mount Olympus is to make sure that every step you take is in that direction. And that sounds silly and ridiculous, but let me give an example. Let's say that we say that our Mount Olympus is great health. And yet we eat fried foods, yet we eat lots of dessert, yet we never exercise. We take steps in the wrong direction of the thing we say we're going to do. We can say our family is most important, yet we don't take time to call, to send a card, to do. We say we want it, but we don't always take a step in that direction. So whatever it is you want, just take a step in that direction. You don't have to take all the steps, but at least take a step, a little bit every day, moving towards the thing that we want. So right now what I'd like you to do is go back to your list of five and just write one or two things that you'd be willing to do in the next week towards your highest vision in those areas. Keep writing if you need to keep writing. And let's go to the final one and our favorite, discipline. It does. It sounds painful. But we'll go back to one of the lines of Paul that I mentioned in the first couple weeks. My own behavior baffles me. I find myself doing the things I do not want to do and doing the things I find myself doing the things I do not want to do and not doing the things I know that I should. And we can all relate to that. Discipline is a habit, and it is an essential to be successful in anything from art to music to business, to our health, to our own spiritual life. Being disciplined is about doing the important things that you know that should be done when they should be done. It is about getting up when you don't feel like getting up. It is about believing when you don't feel like believing. It is about trying when you don't feel like trying. It's about keeping going when your mind is telling you to stop. Again, discipline is about doing what you know you should do when you should do it. And I don't have any fancy things to say about discipline because it just is what it is. It is about doing the things we need to do. And again, while we might wander and drift, at some point, discipline is needed to achieve the things we need to achieve.